reading the Word of God. You can read five chapters if you get up in the morning. You can read five chapters in about 30 minutes or less. If you're a fast reader, you can read a lot more than that. You can read probably 10 chapters. If you can take 30 minutes of your time in the morning or in the afternoon, it's better to do it in the morning. Amen. And if you can read five chapters in the morning, and if you can do more, that's a blessing. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll keep your mind right. Yep. Amen. It'll keep you thinking straight. Yes, sir. It's just something about your day will go different and better. And you won't. It seems like the battles that you face doesn't affect you Amen. As bad. It's food. It's spiritual food. So you're strengthening yourself. And when the Bible says put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, that's what you're doing. When you read your Bible first thing in the morning, you're putting on the armor. And you're reading your Bible and you pray. And the Lord, you say, Lord, bless this day. You're putting on armor. That's what it is. And you're preparing your mind, your spirit. You're preparing yourself to go out into the world to face the world. Why? You're going to be bombarded, man. You go in, any store you go into, you're going to hear some music. The music's going to bombard. You go at work, you'll hear music. And you know, some of the music that you used to like is going to come up, and your mind's going to be playing that through your head. And the more the Word of God is in there, it's like a battle going on, and it counters it. And I told you before, I used to like listen to Motown, all that stuff, and that stuff is still in my head. But when I'll be going across the radio station, and I'll hear one of them old songs, and I'll stop for a second and listen. I'll turn it real quick. Why? I don't want that stuff to get a hold of me, man. I don't want that mess. I just don't want it because I know what it does. It does. I've experimented. Well, I've had it happen. It'll take you back. It'll keep taking you back, back. And you never go forward with it. You always go back. And so you don't want that stuff to get a hold of you and mess your mind up and mess your heart up. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We read this morning chapter 2. And I'm convinced we need to read more Bible. We need to read more Bible in church as well. And but we'll read 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I'm not reading this. Just know there's nothing on my mind that anybody thinks that I'm trying to get at them. I'm not picking on my wife. I'm not doing that. No, I'm not saying that for that. In the Bible, we just read. We're at this chapter. It's Bible, and that's what you do. You take it, and you say, this is right. This is the right thing. I thank God my wife is in subjection to me. And it's not, but I'm not her ruler. I don't snap my fingers and make her roll over and play dead and all that stuff. I don't do that. So I don't, you know, some guys I've known went to Bible school and all that. They think they're, you know, that's the way it is. No, it ain't supposed to be that way. That's stupid. They're idiots. They're idiots. The Bible talks about a wife and a husband, man bearing fruit together and being, sharing partner alike when it comes to serving God. Anything I ever do in my life, my wife will have. He has a part of it. She has a part in serving God with me. You know, my wife could have gave me such hell on earth that I wouldn't have been able to be a pastor. I wouldn't have been able to serve 31 years, going 31 years as a pastor. She could have caused all kinds of havoc in my life, and I would say, hey, that's enough. I can't take it, and I had to give up. And I know a lot of preachers that's done that. Their wives, and I know some preachers that their wives, their whole spirituality was on their husband, and when he quit or when he got out or he died, they fell apart. And they are messed up their lives and messed up everything. I was told you I was down in San Antonio. I seen Mrs. Ingram, and Mrs. Ingram came over to see me, her and her son and her husband, his wife and their child. I got pictures of it with them. And she came over, and what I got a blessing out of Mrs. Ingram, even though her husband died, she didn't fall apart. She kept on serving God. Amen. Now, Jim Lentz and I went to Bible school together, and he was good friends of mine. Marine, we did a lot of stuff together, street preached, boxed, everything together. And Jim was my friend. I loved him. But as soon as after his funeral, his wife went to pieces, man. And she was already heading that way before. But Mrs. Ingram, what it is, she had a relationship with the Lord before he met her. And Cheryl, Lynch, she didn't have a, I hope she hears this. I hope she, somebody hears or puts it online, she hears it. She's living in a church house down there at the church where they pastored. She's living there, drinking, carrying on, got a live-in boyfriend. Her son's got a live-in boyfriend or girlfriend, and with a child and all that stuff. And they're living like hell, and they're right next to the church. How would that be? Man, church house, and they're living in there and living like hell. And but I've seen every time I go to preach somewhere, I see how the wife responds. And not that I'm judging her, I'm just praying for him, because it's hard. It's hard for a woman that's married to a man, got a church and trying to pastor. It's tough because she's in between and she gets caught. So I'm not reading this for anybody in particular. It's just what the Bible, what was the chapter it fell on.
Amen.
It says, look here. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Not somebody else's husband, your own husband. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Talk about a husband, we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen around here, where a wife just kept doing what's right, and her husband ended up getting right and getting saved, and she just kept on doing right, and God blessed her and answered her prayer, because she's got grounds to pray on. If the guy, he's the head of the home, and he won't do right, then she's praying God get him, and so she goes over his head to God, and God gets him. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. That's not saying that stuff is wrong. It's not saying that stuff is wrong. It's just saying don't let that be your adorning. Don't let that be your makeup. Look what it says. Let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. Corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Boy, that's a great price. And, you know, most ladies that, you know, they're quiet at the church, but when they get home, it's holy hell for a man. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. It should be the same at church as at home.
Amen.
Everything should be the same. It shouldn't be living one way at church and another way at home. It should be a blessing. I tell you this. I love going home to my wife. If you got a wife that's a brawling woman or whatever at home, and you don't want to go home, you want to go down to Cheers, where everybody knows your name. It says this after verse 5. After this manner. In the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. It says, likewise, you husbands, there you go, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's why when we went to Bible school, Doc allowed all the women to go free. So the husband wouldn't be up here and the wife be down here, spiritually speaking. So the ideal marriage should be right together. Husband and wife on the same level when it comes to, I mean, the husband should be above, knowing his Bible, knowing things, and wife should be able to ask her husband at home about certain things if she don't understand it. But it should be close rather than this far apart. And what happens is when it's that far apart, they always end up splitting up. When the wife is up here and the husband's down here, it's just hell on earth. When it's that way, when you got it together and they're trying to do what's right and the kid, everything's right, it works out great. And that's God's plan for a happy marriage. You want a happy marriage, that's the way that God's plan is. Amen. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, which Amen. As unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Look what it says, that your prayers be not hindered. A husband can cause the prayers to be hindered, or the wife can cause the prayers to be hindered. Amen. And you've got to keep that communication between you and each other and talking to God. Finally, it says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. And, you know, I've noticed this. A lot of times, you know, we have more compassion on somebody else than we have on our own family.
Right.
We have more compassion for somebody else's, you know, husband or wife or something like that than we do of our own loved ones. It shouldn't be that way.
Yes.
It should be the same. But I mean, when it comes to blood, it's just should be more compassion. Finally, Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. It says, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing. But contrary wise, blessing. Knowing that ye there are thereto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. How many of y'all want a blessing?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
How many of y'all want to inherit a blessing?
Yeah.
You don't want your prayers to be hindered? I want to keep my home. I want to have a happy home.
Amen.
And when you have a happy home and you got a, the kids end up being happy knowing mom and daddy's all right, it's happy. What a blessing. Finally, look at this. It's not rendering evil for evil, but railing for railing. But contrary wise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. And you got to be careful when you're talking to each other, husband and wife. You got to be careful that you don't railing for railing, evil for evil, and when bringing up the past and saying all that stuff. And before long, it just turns into all out brawl. I mean, just terrible. And it shouldn't be that way. Cops got to get called and somebody gets hit in the head with a pan. And oh, we had them little boys. Who picks them little boys up? Miss April, is she here? April, I seen her come in. April Tuck, she picks up those little boys. I thought I seen her in the back. She picks up those little kids, and those little kids said, pray for my mommy. She's in jail because she hit my daddy and split his head open. And it was Sunday morning. And those little kids come to half-dressed and dirty. My heart breaks for them. I don't want my daughters to have that. I don't want my grandkids coming over the house saying, Grandpa, you wouldn't believe what happened at our house last. I don't want that, man. You say, what do you do? I'm praying for them and trying to be a good example in front of them. We joke, and my wife and I can joke and kid around. If you can laugh about things, man, it's a blessing. When you can laugh at each other and not be upset with each other, you shouldn't have to walk on eggshells around each other, amen? Shouldn't be that way at the house. Everything should be just a blessing. It says, let him eschew evil, verse 11. I think back up to 10. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace with each other. If you know something's going to push somebody's buttons, don't push the button. Leave the button alone. And if you got a North Korea saying they got a button on his desk, don't say you got a bigger button on yours. No, just don't push the button. I know how to get my wife upset if I want to push the button. I know what to do. Don't do it. You men, you know, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Lift your hand up, will you please? Yeah, don't do it. It ain't worth it, man. It's going to be a nuclear explosion. It ain't worth it.
I'll remind you of this tomorrow.
Yeah. Check this out, verse 12, talking about the husband and wife. Look at this. Check it out now. I want you to notice God's in the affairs of man. God's in the affairs of homes and marriages. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Amen.
Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If ye suffer for righteous' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I was telling folks today, we were talking about, we've had different families in the church, and I've had to be in the middle of one family, one Thanksgiving. And one Thanksgiving, some of y'all remember what this was. It was a family that they just, a dysfunctional family that came to church here. And yeah, well, this is a hospital. That's what this is. This is a lot worse. But this family had a Thanksgiving meal, and one girl threw a fit because she couldn't have her boyfriend over. And the mother was arguing with the father, saying, let the boyfriend come over and all this stuff. And I get a call. Brother Renee is at my house. He was eating Thanksgiving with us. I get a call that they, big fight at the house. So I go over to the house, and I find out that he was out, the father took all the meal off the Thanksgiving table, threw it out in the yard, and he's running around the yard kicking the turkey like a football. out in the front yard, our backyard. And I sat there, finally got everybody calmed down. I took them food, and then I invited the family to my house, which I wish I'd never done that. But I invited them over the house, but I took them Thanksgiving meal somewhat. I didn't have enough, so then I invited them to the house. But he was kicking that turkey all over the backyard and having a fit, just a stupid argument over Thanksgiving about a boyfriend coming over. And they got it finally worked out, but right now they're divorced, as far as I know. They quit coming to church. The girls got messed up. The husband was working with Josh, and he said, tell your father, your last name's Ryman. He goes, yeah, your dad was at our house. Just remind your dad about the guy kicking the turkey around the yard. And we've seen enough of them, man. We've seen enough of that stuff. Amen. So it doesn't have to be that way. It says, but if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, but be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That's why I always said, you're better off suffering for doing right than to do wrong. If I'm going to suffer, I'd rather suffer for doing right than for doing wrong. You say, what happened to Joseph? He got put in jail for doing what's right. Potiphar's wife got her eye on him and started saying, lay with me. He said, no, it's not right. And he wouldn't do it. He got accused of it. He got put in jail for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, the Lord turned around and blessed him because he helped out a baker and a butler. And then finally, the butler remembered, and he tells Pharaoh, he said, I know somebody can interpret dreams. And then Joseph ends up being second in command in Egypt. So God can reward. God can reward. It says, it's better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Check that out. Jesus Christ went down, and he led captivity captive. He gave gifts on the men, but he preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. In the like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth not save us, not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but by the answer of a good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I had a Church of Christ preacher throw that verse at me, and I didn't know how to handle it at the time. But it's not talking about baptism saving, water baptism saving you. It says it's like figure. Amen. It's a like figure. That's why when we baptize people in the water up here, we say like as, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a like figure. It's not baptism that saves you. It says if you take out that part where it's in parentheses, it says not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. If you took that out, it's talking about the flesh. It says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the baptism it's talking about is a spiritual baptism that you were saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Verse 22, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen. I chose 1 Peter to start reading because it's a good chapter to read and good book to read. But we're going to stop right there.